comes up.
Hello.
How are you?
I have the record, are we good to go?
You ready? Yeah, we're up and running.
We're recording.
Yeah, we're recording, we're rolling.
That's for you, that's for you. Okay, calling the meeting to order at, what? 6:02. First thing on our agenda is, well, we have a quorum, is approval of the minutes of the June 22nd meeting. I hope everybody's had a chance to look at the minutes. Any questions, corrections, anything? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes then.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion by Sandy, second by Rick, that we approve the minutes of the June 22nd meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So the first thing on our discussion items is a membership update.
And so at-large member Stu Osborne submitted his resignation in writing between the two meetings. And so we put out the city put out a press release with the opening announcement. And we had received the one from Mr. Dinerstein.
Correct.
And then we actually received another one today. I'm sorry, I don't have your name in front of me.
Lonnie Martinez.
Lonnie Martinez, to fill those. And so because we happen to have a meeting tonight, both were invited to interview with the panel. And then the panel will deliberate, discuss, and recommend, and then we'll make a recommendation to the mayor for official appointment, which would happen at the first council meeting in August.
So before we start those interviews, I think it'd be useful for us to introduce ourselves to the people that are being interviewed. So my name's Mindy, and we all fill a slot for membership on this committee, and my slot is mediation.
I'm Sandy Vermagoo, and because of illness, I missed a lot of meetings this last year, but I think I'm member at large for right now.
Business.
Pardon?
You represent the business community.
Yes, right, that's right. My website should have reminded me of that.
That's okay.
My name's Sam Hurst, and I'm a student at Newport High School, so I represent the students.
I'm Dean Sawyer, the mayor of Newport.
I'm Keith Nelson. And did I get approved by the council?
Yes. That's how you get the official name tag.
I saw the name tag, I wasn't sure. Thank you.
I'm Fernando Garza, also from here on Newport.
And Esmeralda?
Okay, my name is Esmeralda Hernandez, and I represent the Latinx community.
Rick Goodconnect, at large.
I'm Susan Bamboo, and I represent the school district.
And then we also have another student representative, and...
And Kale.
And Kale, who's another at-large member. And so this fills an at-large position, which is what we currently have open.
Okay, so we will start the interview process for you two. And the way it's going to go is, I think we'll start with Dawn, since your application came in first. What we're going to do is each one of us will ask you a question from a series of questions that we have. Did we pass them around? Everybody got one? Okay. And then we'll move to the next person. Then we'll go to one. Sorry.
Before
Does that
we
make
begin,
sense?
Right? I have a couple questions.
Okay.
That's all right. My first question is, as I've done some research and dug online to find out information that otherwise I would have no knowledge of, not being a part of the committee. So may I quote from that?
Sure.
And my second question is, no disrespect to Lonnie, but in this particular format, how do you prevent a another applicant from plagiarizing the previous interview?
I have no idea. I've never even thought about that.
Well.
Because he will be interviewed right here and you'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if it happens, then.
So one of the.
Call him on it?
Well, I'm just bringing that into the atmosphere here.
Yeah.
No disrespect, Lon. I'm just thinking. And not that you.
It's a volunteer position. It's okay.
Not that you could do such a thing. But the idea being is if I were to happen this evening to submit in my answers a thought or an idea that was potentially unique to my character, mm-hmm. and then another applicant said, gee, I think I'm going to use that same line. I think I can say that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So I'm just bringing this out because we'll go ahead and we'll do this. This is the way you do things. But you might, in a future meeting, have a discussion, you know, about the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
They're interviewing two people at the same time, the pros and cons, and I think this potentially is a con.
So one of the things we are bound by, because this is a public meeting, and it is open to the public, and it's televised, and so whether we had a rule that, yes, only one person will be here in a room, we can't control if somebody was to go watch it live stream. Because it's a public meeting, all the deliberations have to be in public, the voting is all in public. And again, so it makes it awkward for the committee. They've run into this a few times.
I see.
Where they have to deliberate, you know, when you have multiple candidates, which has happened a few times already this year.
Yeah.
Because everybody, you know, you have a bunch of professional people in here with their own unique thoughts, what it is they'd like to see on the committee, and able to form judgments based upon your answers. You know, and so I guess we'd just take it at that.
That's fine.
I think if the committee hears your answers over and over by somebody else, they'll figure that out.
If they were verbatim, certainly, but that may not be the case. It's just, I'm sure you've all thought of that in some degree as well, that it is an awkward format, but nonetheless, that's what we're working with, so, okay.
Okay. So here we go. Let's start with Sandy.
Okay.
Question number one.
Yes. The Police Advisory Committee is a relatively new committee. What do you know about this committee and its roles and responsibilities?
Well, what I know is pretty much derived from information online through the police website. And I can reiterate a few of those items now, but I don't necessarily need to go through the entire list because I could refer the committee directly to that website as well. But to review police activities and service calls, to enhance community police relations, to educate committee members as to police procedures, protocols, and review officers' performance. To provide community perspective of these things and to convey that information to the police department. To promote public awareness of police services and programs. To hold public meetings and receive input from the community. To serve as a liaison between the community and the police department. To provide the community with an annual report of all police statistical violations, arrest, outcomes, and demographic data, including community feedback, and also to respond to community concerns in a timely manner. There are others.
Yeah. All right, I think I'm up next. What are the unique strengths and qualities that you would bring to this committee?
Well, as I put on my application, while living in Connecticut, I spent 7 years as a first responder. I initially started off as a firefighter. I went to the medical side, became an EMT. While being an EMT, I felt a great compassion for victims, and I took on the training and became a crisis chaplain for the fire and police departments. And in those 7 years, using the incident stress training and applying it to victims, MVAs, victims of medical emergencies, victims of crime, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, I developed, I would say, a keen awareness as to the sensitivities of the stressors and the emotions of civilians and police, and perhaps having firsthand knowledge in dealing with those type of personal life crises, I might be better prepared to help in the communication between the community and the police department on critical issues.
What motivates you to want to be a member of this committee?
Well, I loved being a first responder, albeit only for 7 years. But at my age, I'm not physically able to meet those challenges any longer. However, the committee offers me an opportunity to serve the community and the police department by creating better relationships and better understanding, and that's in my wheelhouse.
Number six, right?
Four.
Four.
Four. Four. I'm sorry. Okay, that's why I asked. So, sorry about that. What do you feel should be the Newport Police Department's policing and patrol priorities?
Okay, well, I don't know if it's so much what I feel as to so much of what must be done, but crime prevention and deterrence is number one. Apprehension of offenders and providing welfare tasks in the community would probably be number two and three. Creating a sense of public security simply by having a presence, and identifying and solving community problems with respect to crime and disorder.
What steps could be taken to address underserved communities that are part of the city of Newport?
Well, primarily I would suggest identifying areas experiencing the highest level of crime, trauma, gun violence, and medical emergencies, and then focus on the restoration of trust with the community. And by doing that, we make police response a priority issue on these calls. We could also send secondary responders to follow up with community needs and provide victim advocacy. And we can increase police presence in these areas. Hold interactive community meetings to better understand the specific needs of these communities. And through our access of data through the police department, we can put together police criminal mapping to anticipate where trouble will be in the future in these areas.
Thank you.
Number six, how do you envision promoting this committee and its work in the community?
Well, there's certainly all number of ways, but what I zeroed in on would be to promote interactive public meet and greet. We're on video now, which is fine for transparency, but to have a physical presence with the community in the form of public meet and greet sessions, and I would suggest each quarter of the year to have one. I would advertise these meetings in local papers and on local radio, in addition to traditional public postings in internet media. And at these meetings, we would provide data of policing interactions, arrests, crime stats, and outcomes to the public. Furthermore, we would explain steps being taken to recognize any areas of weakness in this data and to figure out ways of strengthening those weaknesses. That's it.
Is there anything else you would like the committee to know about you?
Well, my wife and I are celebrating our 40th year of marriage this year. We live in South Beach. We relocated here from Southern California via Connecticut 2 years ago. Much to my chagrin, as soon as we moved here, both my children and their families and all the grandchildren left California and came up here and settled in Newport as well, which was not my initial game plan, but thus it worked out. We're all together here, so we call this home. I might mention that should I be appointed to the committee, I feel that I might have a voice of clarity because I tend to be analytical, I tend to be pragmatic, and I've been told I'm creative and I think out of the box when it comes to addressing complex problems and issues. Lastly, I would have to say that I'm a faithful person. I'm a dependable person. I'm available, and most important, I'm teachable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you're on the spot now.
Here we go.
Let's go around this way this time.
New question. So this is a relatively new committee. What can you tell us that you know about this committee and its roles and responsibilities?
Sure. So it is my understanding this is a relatively new committee, and that's really what I know so far. However, I did find some information online about the 22 to 23 goals of the committee. I don't know that I need to vocalize all of them, but it seems like there's a pathway, because for a while I thought, well, why does this group exist? And why did it, how did it come into fruition, and what was the need? It seems that things are being settled and moved forward, and so it'll be interesting to be either part of that or watch it. Additionally, I did watch last month's meeting get caught up, and it seems there is progress. Roles are being established, and I think that the committee could promote transparency for the public, ultimately building trust and responsibility to act and advocate between the Newport Police Department and the public for fair and equal treatment. That's what I know.
Thank you.
Very good. What are the unique strengths and qualities that you would bring to this committee?
I don't know. I am a workforce development professional with the state of Oregon for 18 years, and what that means is I help people find jobs, and I help jobs find people. I have a 20-year food service past before that. I was raised in a single-parent household. I worked very hard to get to where I'm at. Overcoming adversity as a member of a disadvantaged population that really still exists in every town, USA, including Newport, Oregon. When I sit in my office and I look across the street, I see it every day. It's very interesting, but I see it. I have developed and presented multiple job fairs for youth, been on several job fair committees from specialized to general industry. I've developed and presented multiple hiring events and workshops for the public to help prepare them for jobs. I am comfortable in public speaking, recently presenting an overview of wages and other labor market information to a group of local businesses with the Chamber of Commerce. And I believe in being a reflection of the community members we serve. While this isn't necessarily important, but I believe it's important to reflect the customers that we serve. And I know there's a lot of people with body art here, and I have my very own, but out of respect today, I wore a long sleeve shirt to this event. I wore my short sleeve shirt to work. I offer knowledge from training in suicide prevention, diversity and inclusion, leadership trainings to the Beaverton Area Chamber of Commerce, and I'm currently registered for the Leadership Lincoln coming up for the next 10 months. I am trained in de-escalation, ADA reasonable accommodations, preventing discrimination and harassment, weapons and violence-free workplace, confidentiality every year, customer service and difficult customers. I'm a certified career development facilitator. All of this really just says I like working with people, and I have compassion and empathy for the human that is still behind the drug addiction and the unemployed.
Okay, question number three. What motivates you to want to be a member of this committee?
Crazy. I have time. I am motivated by wanting to position myself in a useful manner in the community. I just moved here 3 months ago from Portland. I'm going to call Newport my home for the rest of my working career, and I want to position myself to be useful here. I have been very intent and purposeful in selecting where I want to give my time. I know that there's a lot of opportunity. And I think that this particular opportunity can serve the community with my knowledge and skill, as well as maybe some workforce development ideas that I have. Additionally, my experience may be helpful in programs to assist in economic health through helping people get work ready for local business.
All right.
Number four.
Four.
Number four. What do you feel should be the Newport Police Department's policing and patrol priorities?
I think there's just with any law enforcement, you know, they're there to protect and serve. And I think that that's still, I think, is a priority. I think that to protect people and property and to serve every community member with assuming good intent is important. I think it's important, and it's not going to be popular, but sometimes it's important to keep our personal emotions in check when we have heightened emotional situations. So I think that that's some policy or policing and patrol priorities that I think is important.
What steps could be taken to address the underserved communities that are part of the city of Newport?
Yeah. So protect and serve comes to mind. Principles before personalities, because there are a lot of personalities out there. Believe me, I've seen them. We have to accept things we can't change, and that's really everybody about us and around us. I think it's important that the police department be approachable with open house or present at community events, possibly a quarterly open house or meet and greet to demonstrate approachability. And I think that that's the key word here is how many times do people go up to police officers and ask, how you doing? I don't know, right? I have a couple of friends who are police officers in Portland. Doesn't happen that often there. I can't imagine here. I've only been here for 3 months, and I've mentioned to somebody that I was going to do this, and they said, I just keep my head down and don't make eye contact. And I thought to myself, that means you've done something that you should not be doing. and you're trying to make yourself invisible. It's just not working. But I think it's important that underserved or any community, as long as you can somehow make yourself approachability, I think that goes a long way.
How do you envision promoting this committee and its work in the community?
So I think that a defined structure with a mission is good to show. I think we show that in local print, social media, broadcast radio, and the very best promotional material can be word of mouth. And so when we do something good and we do things consistently well, and people can go out and talk about that, that's all you got to have in my mind.
And what else would you like the committee to know about you?
How much time do we got? Just kidding. So I've overcome personal challenges myself. I think that some of the things that I've overcome is reflective out in our streets. Addiction is very, very powerful. And I think that a lot of the people that I see every day in the labor market or the labor pool that I see here every day, and the just recently released population that live in our communities, can use this compassion to understand, but also use it as a tool to help them move forward. I have a passion for my work in workforce development. I think that everybody has inherent worth in the workforce. But I also know that there's a lot of people that have some barriers, but I know that there are ways around that. I see them. I am currently working to create a program to help justice-involved population reintegrate into the workforce. It's certainly an uphill battle, but I think that, I think, again, that's my inherent thought that everybody has good value. And so I'm going to continue that path here in the Newport area, and I'm hoping to tie the two in together somehow. That's what else I'd like you to know. Thanks.
So I need help from somebody about how to start this discussion. I mean, we didn't actually deliberate about people in person before, except for one, and there was only one candidate. So I'm at a loss how to lead that discussion or have someone else lead the discussion, or I don't know how this works.
Do we only have the one vacancy then?
Yes.
Currently, yes.
Oh, wow. I like both their passions.
that's why I don't know what to do personally.
But it's really weird to just like talk about which person you like more right in front of them, you know?
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking.
He would like to speak.
Go ahead.
If it would make you more productive and comfortable, I'd be glad to excuse myself from the rest of the proceeding.
I think that's up to either one of you. That's the way an open public meeting is. Is you're certainly allowed to stay and you're certainly allowed to leave. So, you know, regardless of how uncomfortable it is, I think the issue is we have to come to a decision. And it seems to me that this group really needs to consider the answers in relation to what we believe the work is. And then which person does each individual feel like can meet the need of the group, right? Because this group as a whole has a need, right, to move the work forward. So hopefully everybody has an idea of what they think that is, and then who's the person who we feel like, based on answers, is going to help add to this group and that work to move it forward. Keith probably doesn't know quite as much because he has not been here. Two meetings, maybe.
And Keith got to interview by himself.
Yeah.
One meeting and then this one, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we have goals. We have goals we're trying to achieve. And it's, you know, to me, you listen to the answers and which of those answers fit into moving those goals forward. We've talked a lot about mental health. We've talked a lot about underserved communities in this group.
Homeless.
You're right. No, right?
Drug and alcohol, mm-hmm. Addiction. Youth.
I guess I might default to the mayor and or Sandy as a former mayor, because you had a lot more experience with public meetings and committees and things like that. So again, it is up to you guys, because it is a public meeting. You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to step out, come back. Your choice. But they do need to have a discussion and then ultimately a vote so we can pass that on to the mayor.
What you're saying is help.
Honestly, this is the great thing of being a staff person.
Right. And the mayor will ultimately make the decision.
The mayor ultimately That's makes true. The decision, yes.
So mayor, guide us, please.
Yeah.
Just put it on my plate. Yeah. No, I think that, you know, you have to make a decision. And you have to have time to have a discussion, because when you do have two people, you have to make a choice. Choices aren't easy all the time. And I think Susan put it really well. You know, you have to look for somebody that is going to be an asset to the committee.
Right.
I think that's important, obviously. But I think if they want to stay, they can. If they don't want to, that's fine too. But I think it's uncomfortable, I think, for some of the committee members to talk about people in front of them. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And, as you said, it is a public meeting, and you have to keep it public.
Well, and it's not about it's not about the individual person. It's about who it is, what strength is being brought, and our perception. It's a very short, very few questions, but what is the perception of who it is that's going to potentially just bring another position onto this committee that will support it and make it stronger? And it doesn't have to be personal. It's not a it's not a personalized conversation. It's just about who's going to help make this committee better.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I believe in my mind, you're both very well qualified. You both have good skills, you have strengths, and I think either one of you, personally, would do a good job. Only, unfortunately, there's only, you know, one, and you know, so I guess, you know, when it comes on the vote, I guess I'll base it on everything that we talked about. So I'm ready to go myself.
Ready to vote?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's, does anybody else have anything they feel like they need to discuss about it? Are there things we need to discuss, or are people feeling like, I think I know who it is that would fit in this group?
I would just like to add that I think it's wonderful that we have a very tough decision before us.
Yeah.
We have two very, very appealing candidates with great backgrounds that I think we would not be hurting our committee by having either one. It's sad that we can't have both of them.
Right.
But we must choose one. So my feeling is it's wonderful to have very strong candidates.
Absolutely.
Thank you for both putting in for it. Thank you.
And the only thing else that I would add to this is, you know, obviously one, you know, will be, you know, chosen tonight. There's going to be other openings, you know, and like I said, I think you're both good candidates. I'm not predicting anything.
And I would say that irrespective of who gets chosen and who doesn't, that the person that isn't chosen, we have other committees in the city that we have open. We have an opening on the bike ped committee and one on the planning commission. So, you know, obviously if you don't make this committee, there are other committees to look at.
Exactly. Can I ask another question? It's like not on the question list.
As long as you ask it to both.
Yeah, I'm going to ask it to both. Is that okay? Okay. I have one more question. So like the mayor just mentioned, we have a lot of committees in the city of Newport, and they all do really great work. And I want to know, you can go first on this one because, you know, he took all the other ones first. But I want to know, why is it this committee over the other ones? Because there's a question on here, number three, that's similar. What motivates you to want to be a member of this committee? But I want to know, like, exactly this committee as opposed to just, like, you know, doing public service and helping out. Like, why this committee specifically?
That's a good question. My motivation for the Police Advisory Committee is because I have a project in mind through my work, working with justice-involved people, and I want to get an idea and a thought process on what kind of issues are encountered and how we can mitigate those so that we can have more approachability to the applicant pool or the labor market or labor pool that's out there. And make them more productive in our communities rather than a drain on our systems.
Well, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, 7 years of holding hands with broken officers, I have great empathy for the police department. And we're living in a time where respect for authority in general, but in particular the police, is evaporated. And I don't want to see anyone in Newport start to reflect the behaviors and attitudes that we see in Portland. And I thought by getting involved in this committee, I might be an asset insofar as bolstering respect for the police to the community and vice versa.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
No, I made it tougher. Sorry. It's a tough group.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, you gotta move it along.
Yeah. So I think what we'll do is go ahead and vote for the person that we recommend to the mayor for the committee, for membership on the committee. Call each name, and I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know how
the voting procedure. I mean, do we go around?
It's ultimately go around, call by person, and have them with their recommendation.
Okay.
And then it'll be tallied.
With no discussion, right?
Well, you can have discussion. You can continue to discuss. This is your committee.
Anybody feel the need to continue discussion? Okay, then I'm going to recommend Lonnie for appointment.
And
you can
go my way, I recommend Lonnie.
And again, I think both of you are very good. But I go for Lonnie.
I vote for Lonnie.
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 Yeah, Lonnie.
That was very good. If you'll excuse me, I have other things to do this evening. Congratulations, Lonnie.
Thank you for being here.
God bless you all. Oh, thank you very much for having me come in.
Please keep us in mind for the next meeting.
There may be an opportunity to come back, do it, because you'd be very valuable, there's no question.
Well, thank you, Keith.
Congratulations.
Somebody make a move in a second.
I might add, one of the things that I think we're all challenged by in the community is what your background is in recruiting and job placement is having minority community, recruits from the minority community be interested in doing policing and doing some outreach in that regard to help the police department and, quite frankly, the sheriff's department more balance their workforce.
Yeah, there's, I sit in a building that a lot of people come in every day, and I see a lot of people come in every day and go to a part of the building that isn't helping them be self-sufficient. It's the, we're looking more for a handout than help, and I'm disturbed by that, being in that building. There's a lot more that we can do. A lot more we can do.
So I'll entertain a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to recommend Lonnie Martinez to the mayor for appointment, to be appointed to the committee.
A second.
Second. So there's been a motion.
Sam and Sandy?
Yeah.
Got him? Okay. That we recommend that Lonnie be appointed to the committee, recommendation going to the mayor for approval. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
And welcome.
So I will write a staff report, and I'll contact the mayor, we'll pretend like he's not here.
Okay.
To let him know that it's coming for the next meeting.
And you better approve it, because you know. Okay, let's move on to the community questionnaire. I think that we can use the minutes from the last meeting to be our little action plan for now, because what we said was for traffic, ask the city to do a traffic study, and then Chief said that there's already. Right, and so, and that can be improved, of course, if we collaborate with the Bike Ped Committee to find out about different signals or whatever, speed, signs, and so on.
I've been in contact with the city engineer who coordinates the city's response questions and things like that. And so there's a bunch of them currently pending, there's a bunch already in progress, and I just let him know that this committee is also requested that also, so.
Okay. We did choose to submit the idea of installing cameras at specific intersections, and again, you had information on, actually it was CM that said it's up for
And I've learned the council doesn't know this yet, but I've been in contact with ODOT. So there's a specific law that allows us, so the highways belong to ODOT. We cannot just willy-nilly go do what we want with state highways. So Highway 101, Highway 20 is the ones that affect us, not the arterial streets that lead into it or lead off of it. I have a contact at ODOT, and I just asked that simple question. There's an ORS, there's a law that allows us to be able to do that. Is there anything else? The law doesn't say about the anything else. She sent me the anything else information. You have to have ultimately a documented crash history at these locations. Near misses do not count. Unfortunately, in ODOT world, many traffic collisions were avoided or narrowly missed or people were narrowly run over. They don't count in the statistical data. And so, right now, we don't have, we did a study and showed an inordinate amount of red light violations at 101 and 20 and 20 in Harney. We don't have the crash data, fortunately, I guess, to support red light cameras there.
A miss is as good as a mile?
What's that?
A miss is as good as a mile?
I think so, yeah. And so that doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop with our enforcement efforts. I have put in a request for peekaboo lights at 101 and 20 that we're still working with ODOT on, and those I think I've talked about before, which helps with our ability to enforce red light violations, because we have to be able to see the light, see that it was working properly, and see that it was red. We can't assume if this one's green that that one's red. While I've never seen them both turn green at the same time, or both red at the same, you know.
It certainly looks like they do.
Yeah, the little peekaboo lights give us the ability to see that from the backside, so that we can confirm the light was operating. Because like 101 and 20 takes three officers to do traffic enforcement there, because of the observer on either side, and then what we call a chase car. So that doesn't happen that often. It's a big commitment.
So what were you or CM talking about when you said that it's going to go to city council again in the next couple of months? The idea of the red light.
The red light is on a future agenda for city staff to discuss with our council, but I've learned this information since we've had our last meeting.
Okay.
And so my information going to them is that the issue pretty much is not moving forward.
Okay. It's too bad.
I guess it's bad and good. It's good that we don't have this crash data to support the need for it. So,
however,
yeah, we've all driven those intersections. So.
Yeah. So part of the whole, many of the items that are listed in the minutes have to do with the traffic study, and one of them was. Directly related to analyze, okay, recommend a traffic survey. And now, so the traffic survey would come through BikePed and what's already been done. There's no action for this committee to
correct.
Take.
Keep in mind, the city also has, I think, one more public hearing on the TSP, Mayor. Transportation System Plan?
Yes.
The transportation system plan, which has been months and months and months in the making. They started a public hearing on it at the last meeting, and it continues on to the next meeting. And this is ultimately a 10-year plan for all of Newport. And this really, 20-year plan, thank you. A 20-year plan that encompasses all of Newport in all the different areas. So there's a lot of work already been done and more to come.
Okay. Peak time. Patrol, a visible patrol during peak times, and we said we were going to discuss it with you and then submit to city council, but I don't understand what that means.
And this is ultimately, it's us reviewing using our crime analytics and statistics to determine when do we have the greatest need for patrols. Mm-hmm. So when do we have the most calls for service? For traffic right now, it is next to impossible for us to come up to an answer because of our staffing levels. We don't have the needed staffing levels to adequately go out and enforce traffic. And so the proactive patrols have really gone down so that we have the ability to respond to calls. This time of year, we're busier. And so our officers spend the majority of their time responding to emergencies and calls for service, which leaves little time for those proactive patrols for traffic enforcement. And so any information I give you right now would be extremely skewed because of that.
Well, maybe items like that we can just not table, but put off for further discussion. I mean, it's a chicken or egg thing.
Absolutely.
When there's staff available to possibly do peak patrols, then we could look at that and make our recommendation to city council.
I sound like I'm making a lot of excuses. I'm trying not to.
You're short staff. That's a big part of it.
Different view, and I think we took in a survey, and we got a lot of responses, and in my mind, we were going to take those responses, and then for the public's view, make some recommendations to the council on what we think could be done. Mm-hmm. Now, whether those things can be done, I don't know. But I would hate to say to a community member, well, we didn't follow or make that recommendation because we don't think it can be done.
I think what we were trying to do is, I think we got it down to three recommendations to city council.
What I
just
did,
to go on now.
For clarity in my mind, and whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. I kind of took what you did initially, what I did initially, and kind of what we did last week came up, and whether you want to look at it or not, doesn't really matter. It's kind of a format with, for instance, category one, transient and homeless I did. And then I listed the concerns that came from the public. And then I put recommendations to council of the things that we had talked about. And I don't know if that's something, you know, that...
I really appreciate that and would like to use it, but I think that we agreed we would just pick out a few to make recommendations to city council so that we can say we did this. And the rest of the input from the community, yes, we're working on those, but we're not ready to make a recommendation to city council. We need to do more research, you know,
And again, I would say we can do all the research in the world, mm-hmm. but if the mayor says, no, we can't do it, then mm-hmm. we did all that research for nothing. Now, if we make the recommendation and the mayor says, well, maybe we can do this, and comes back to the committee and says, you know, I'd like you to give me more information on this, this, and that, that would seem more plausible to me than just to kind of put this, you know, all in limbo again. Mm-hmm.
I'd like us to move forward with what we agreed we would submit. And it was originally the cameras at the intersections, but now we know about that. Another one was, I think this is maybe, for me, it's the most important one, is to create or revive that multidisciplinary response team. That's a recommendation we could submit to city council really soon. And I think we agreed to do that as one of our recommendations.
I just don't think we should limit ourselves.
No, but what I'm saying is for right now, let's do this and table the rest and see how things transpire with traffic studies or that sort of thing. The way I think of it is this, our survey and the results, the recommendations, everything are a work in progress. And we're gonna keep going with this as we meet and go along. But
I mean, if that's what the committee wants to do, I'm in full agreement.
Sounds like you want to take some nibbles out of what we have and see what happens with that.
Yeah, the ones that we think are important. Yeah. And
most actionable. And
those were the ones
I think we should focus on, because it's been months now.
It's been a year.
It's been a year now. We need to do the recommendations. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we haven't really done anything else for like a year.
Right.
It's frustrating. So.
Right.
And then what was the third?
So we had the traffic study, multidisciplinary. We talked about the 911 dispatch, moving that. And I think that's when CM said it's worthwhile submitting it to city council again, even though it's incredibly expensive, but just so city council hears, you know, the PAC is interested and the community members have asked for it. And so.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Now, I don't know. I don't know what we want to do past that, like how in detail, what level of detail should we provide for a recommendation, and like what do we provide statistics, do we provide, you know, examples in other cities, what else do we add, or do we just say this is what we want to do and get a feel from the council and the mayor, and then what? And I don't know what the answer to that.
So that would be a mayor thing or a Sandy thing or a Jason.
I guess what I would think
format,
is,
right?
And I know what the council or what the committee had talked about was the committee directly talking to the council instead of me going through me, mm-hmm. Which I think is a great idea, by the way. And ultimately what happens is you guys come up with your recommendations, and whether you decide to do 3, 5, 11, things like that, and fill out the council, if the council is supportive and is like, yes, I really like that, the multidisciplinary response, they're like, we like this, we think this is great, the council will then direct the city manager, come up with a plan. City manager then would give this hopefully to me because it's my department, and then I would have to then come up with a plan and report back to the council based upon this chain of events. Here's where we're at. Here's what we came up with. And this is, you know, I'm not going to obviously write this in a vacuum. This is based on input, you know, because you guys have not just, you don't have just a topic. You also then have, like Rick has, a couple ideas, and the committees come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. So those, I would recommend, you know, we would like to see a multidisciplinary team to respond to fill in the blank and something similar to these type of things. Mm-hmm. And then you ultimately go from there, because our council by charter can't tell the police department directly what to do or any other department, but they can direct the city manager. We'd like to see this, and the city manager hands down the order. So it's just a chain of events.
So how much information does the city council expect to get when somebody comes and let's say somebody from this group comes and sits in front of them and says to them, this is what the PAC is suggesting gets moved forward, and it's, you know, you guys understand this, and how much information do they need to determine whether they might support it?
Well, it's ultimately, in this case, you have a history. And so you have the PAC developed a survey, received X amount of responses. The committee went through, dissected the information, and this was the hot points. These were the most important, received the most topics, most whatevers. The committee then came up and then prioritized those based on their responses and the groups that you represent. And so you just go through your chronological chain of events.
Right.
And
so this will just take that's enough. It's not researching what that group might look like or how many people is needed. It's not that kind of information. It's just saying, here's how we came up with this. Here's the data that says these are the top 3 to 5 things that the community is, through the survey, has told us that they want.
Exactly, and you could even go in, you know, something similar to, you know, or a committee or a group similar to this. And when that gets to me, I have, because I attend these and I listen to you guys, then I put together something. I'll come back, present this to you, and, you know, this is what I'm going to take back to the council. Again, whether I support it or not, you know, but I, because they pay for my opinion, they're going to get that also.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and so there's a lot of things to be like, I 100% support. I wish we had more money, more time, more people type thing. And unfortunately, that's kind of the answer to a lot of things. We have a lot of great ideas in the city, and then we run into reality.
Right. Every single group the city has a 3 to 5 priority list of things they want the city to do. And if there are even 3 committees, that's 15 priorities. Have fun.
And the big thing is you want to tie it back to your goals, because
right.
this committee put goals towards the council, which the council approved, and ultimately the council, that's what they want to see, is you're meeting those few goals that you put forth.
The council relies real heavily on 2 things when there's something put forth. One is the staff opinion of something, and that's what we pay Jason for, to be an expert on police. So if somebody from the public wants something police done, we get his opinion before we do anything to make sure that it's legal,
right?
Obviously. We recently had a thing on the homeless where we had the ordinance, and it said everybody had to pick up their stuff by 7 a.m. and move it. And we had a public hearing after that, and somebody came up and said, what about the disabled homeless people that can't move every day? And so we tabled that, and we sent it back to staff to look at that. The second thing is public opinion, obviously. If we get an overwhelming, like on the parking meters, we wanted to do parking meters in Nye Beach. Well, everybody in Nye Beach wanted to string us up from the bridge. So that got X. Now, we're going forth on the Bayfront because more people down there wanted it. There's still people down there that don't want it. And at some point, the council has to make that final decision, obviously, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. But I think we rely heavily on staff, and we rely heavily on public opinion. Those are the two main things.
Right, and so the job of this committee is to share what the public opinion was based that came out of the survey. So it seems to me that we have 3, last month when I wasn't here, you guys came up with 3 good things. They're things we've talked about. It makes sense that at least 2 of them get moved forward, because it seems as if the 3rd one, like, is illegal, we can't do. Not
right.
Illegal, but is...
Right.
Untenable, that ODOT isn't gonna, like, ODOT wouldn't let it go. It doesn't meet their criteria. So it seems at least the other two would go forward, and then it seems that there could be a further discussion about, are there any others that we would also move forward?
And also, would it make sense to, go ahead.
Chief Malloy mentioned that we should tie everything back to our goals.
Yeah.
And right here we got explore feasibility of reestablishing a collaborative response unit between Lincoln County Mental Health, Lincoln County Sheriff's Department, and local police agencies. So that hits it right on the nose. I think that's the right recommendation.
Would it make sense to kind of combine them in terms of a report from our committee about the survey, what we've done related to the survey? These are the two of the things that we would like to recommend to City Council. In other words, would it?
I mean, oh, absolutely.
Or it even, these are the first two.
The first two.
Yeah, yeah. The committee's identified a whole gamut of ideas, but we've prioritized these fill in the blank.
Okay.
And you're also telling the council we have citizen input on these items.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not picking them out of the sky.
Just us, yeah.
You know.
Okay. So, Sam, you're going to write it, right?
Yeah.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of writing, I have an update on everything. But
okay,
also,
good.
We can get back to that. So I just need to know, you know, what it should look like. So, and how specific.
So I will... So if you go to any council agenda and click on anything that says staff report, those are the formats that we use, and it has ultimately a background, has a title, and then a background, and that's where you're going to list your information. More than likely, what I will do is I'll have you send it to me, and then I will do the staff report. I'll take your data and just make it into our format, but I'm not going to present it. So they'll get that in their packet, and then whoever you elect, Mindy, will actually be the one that... or whoever will come present it to the council.
Or maybe two people.
Or two people. So and it's so you want them to have the information first so they get the opportunity to read it and know what it's about. And that way they're not learning everything as you're speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the only thing that we have to do is I have to coordinate with the city manager on when to get you on the agenda. I will tell you it's not the first meeting in August. But there's, you know, it is a possibility of a second. And these don't take a long time. I mean, this is probably a 10 or 15 minute presentation. The council has some discussion on it and you know, they fire off what to do right away. So
I'd be happy to write it and also happy to present it. I don't really want to present it by myself.
I'll do it
okay.
With you.
Okay, that would be nice.
Well, and then I mean, I wonder at a number of meetings, certain people have developed things on their own. And then it comes to this meeting, but one person has it. Like, none of us have them. Is there some reason why this item that you've developed couldn't be sent to Patty and Patty send it out to everybody so that when we come to this meeting, it becomes a staff report?
Uh-huh.
It's a piece of, it's an item of information that we all are able to look at beforehand and during the meeting to then have discussion on. Because I mean, this isn't the first time. And I appreciate that you're doing it, right? I appreciate you're doing it and putting the work in. And then I go, but I don't, how do I even have this discussion? Because I don't see it. So the appreciation of getting, of doing the work in your perspective of what you've heard, I think is valuable. Then I can see it and go, oh, that's interesting. I didn't hear it that way. I heard it this way. And then when we come to the meeting, we can have a discussion about, you wrote this, but that's not how I heard it.
And just to clarify, I got the goals from things that we actually discussed and we had on paper. I even looked at the last meeting minutes and I didn't get a couple on, so I put those on. And so it's a kind of a cumulative of when we initiated this discussion, and I had your past forms
stuff
that you had put together, and so I added that stuff, and then I added stuff that I notes that I took and from other meeting minutes that
I've
had.
That's just not stuff I have time to do. So the fact that you did it and put it on a piece of paper, I'd love to see it, like, and then be able to have a discussion about it because I have all that stuff in my head, but it becomes hard to have a discussion when there isn't something.
Yeah.
So
So we've had that a few times at meetings.
Yeah.
We've both done something.
So Patty puts, compiles the agenda on the Friday before the meeting. So the meeting's on the fourth Friday, so the, or the fourth Wednesday, so the Friday before. So anything you give her prior to that, she'll include in the agenda. And so that way everybody can see it prior. And if for whatever reason you have an epiphany on Tuesday night, feel free to just come a little bit early and we will make copies to make sure it's disseminated.
Yeah, I finished it at 4:45.
Yeah, but if the discussion item, is it, would it be accurate that if the discussion item is community questionnaire and what he does is just develop information that is related to that discussion item, it isn't really that she, Patty would need to make it, put it on the agenda. She just needs to attach it to an email so we all have it, right? Because it's already on the agenda.
Just because it's part of the public record, because the agenda has to be posted publicly by that Friday, that's why. And so for it's gonna be something that we know is gonna be talked about, we put
it. So it's like you have to attach it into the agenda. That makes sense.
But again, you know, late last night, Rick's like, I can't sleep, I have this great idea. That's okay, you know, if you want, Rick, I can run over and make copies now if you want to share this with everybody.
Or it can be attached for next meeting. I mean, I think it would be a great thing for the next meeting to then be able to actually have the discussion of what are the next, what might the next things be that we want to bring forward? Because you've made a decision about 2 to 3 things. What's the next one? And then this is a piece of paper that could help us have a discussion.
It's like a template for action,
yes,
in a way.
On a timeline,
document.
Do you guys want to present to the council at the second meeting of August or prefer the first meeting of September, where you have the August meeting to then finalize your thoughts or discussions or look at a draft?
Do you know the date of the second meeting in August?
It's going to be the second, 16th, 15th, 15th.
What time are they?
They're all at 6:00, but you're going to be midway through the agenda, and it depends. It could be 7:00 or it could be 9:30. So depends on the mayor's mood that day and how quick he's moving things along.
Let me check my schedule.
But also keep in mind is I have zero control over the agenda. The city manager is ultimately the one that creates it. And so I'll put in a request for the police advisory committee to have communications with the council.
Might have to be in September if I'm going to be there.
So the first one would be September. Well, it won't be the 5th because it's a holiday. I think we just go to the 6th. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be that
probably,
Tuesday.
Probably
more likely than that, the first day of school, too.
Yes.
More than likely, that's the first day of school.
Yeah. It would also be beneficial, though, because your next meeting's the 31st, which gives you guys a little bit of time to finalize. And then I would have to have anything I have to the council by the 1st.
Maybe we should switch it back to the August one. I'm a soccer game.
I don't think that could do the 6th.
But it could also be the second meeting of September, which is going to be the 19th, which is a Monday.
I don't really want to wait that long. I can probably do it. I'll have to miss some stuff, but I can probably do it. August, what was it, 15th, right?
So I will check with Peggy is the acting city manager right now. Spencer's out for this week. I'll double check with her about adding something to an agenda or creating an agenda item and go from there. And then we'll have Patty send out an email. So you guys only have to do a little bit of work. I just need whatever you have by the 10th.
Okay.
To get it to, so that it makes the agenda.
Can you? By the 10th?
Yeah.
Time's flying, you know. Thanks for doing that.
So Sam, you email whatever you want to come up with. And it doesn't have to be a 47-page document. Remember, people are going to read this, and they have a lot of stuff to read. And then I will just attach a couple words and go from there.
That makes sense.
So we're talking 911 and mental health.
Yep.
Okay, good. Thank you. Monthly stats.
Those were handed out. They didn't make it. Hopefully, do you have any questions? As you can see, we we increase this month to last month. July's will more than likely be more than June's. August will be more than July. It's just historically how it works.
So when we talk about those multidisciplinary teams, for your report that you've given us here, does that predominantly mean the responses for the domestic disputes and the suspicious persons' activities or vehicles kind of looks like a catch-all? But what would that response team look at as far as the statistics are concerned? Where would they go? Where would they be implemented?
You're not going to see them on here. It's more than likely going to be under the assist outside agency or the suspicious persons activity vehicle. We don't have necessarily a mental health category because we could go on a zillion reasons and that determine that's what it actually is. So this is how the call comes. This is what the CAD generates based on if you call and say my house was broke into, it's going to be a burglary. But if you call and say my house was broke into and we get there and find out your car was stolen, that may still show up as burglary versus your car being stolen. So this is all generally comes out of CAD and also our records management system. But like I said, there's not a title for a mental health crisis.
So help me understand how when you get a call, will you know to implement the multidisciplinary team? How would you know that?
Well, right now we don't have one, so it's really easy to do.
right, but our suggestion is we create that.
So
for what?
The county briefly had a mobile crisis unit, and it was a trained mental health professional that rode with a deputy because they were the ones funding it, and they were available to the entire county. So if our officers went to a call and we determined that the officer, based on their training experience, that this was a mental health crisis, not the need for a criminal investigation, we would call this team in. They would come, they have the resources, the better resources to handle that.
Okay.
You know, while our officers have 100% faith in their ability and their training, they are better served not responding, not handling those type of calls.
Like you and I went through a lot of that when we went through the Stepping Up initiative, didn't we?
Yes.
There was a lot of verbiage about that.
Yeah. Yes. And that's ultimately where that funding came from. And as quick as it came, it went. So, you know, the funding is there, and I know our county has a lot of funding for that, and they're, like all of us, struggling to find qualified people to fill these positions. As you probably
know.
Thank you.
My only response is we cannot build people. Yes. We just simply can't make them. We have to work with what we have.
Pick the industry. I mean, we have a shortage.
Mm-hmm. Kit apparently is still working on the brochure remotely, pretty much, and hopes to have it done by National Night Out, which is really important.
It's coming up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and she's pretty good if you give her a deadline. She's pretty good at that.
Which takes me to National Night Out.
Next Tuesday.
August
2nd from 8 p.m. No, geez, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. At the Newport Armory. And are you busy?
Yes.
Same as a social camp. But we have space reserved for the Police Advisory Committee. So if you want to come, we will have things to hand out. So we've ordered quite a bit of swag and different things.
Cool.
Yeah. We have a variety of booths. So if anybody went to it the last couple years that we've had it, we have just about every city department we represented there. You know, being able to provide this is what the city does, these are the services we offer. The county has a ton of departments coming. We have quite a few nonprofits that are going to be there. The vaccine clinic will be there again. We'll also have hot dog giveaways, snow cones, cotton candy, drinks, tons and tons of free stuff. We partnered with the hospital again, so we're able to give away quite a bit of helmets again this year. So we're super excited about that. And then we'll also, Coast Guard, the Sheriff's Office, Posse, not sure if we got a confirmation on the petting zoo. Jovita Ballantyne, our CSO, is you just give her something and get out of the way. and she just tells us when to all show up. So it'll be a great event. We estimate 500 to 800 people come to it. And we're another year removed from COVID. So hopefully more people are out and about.
So what will we do?
So you guys will be there and ultimately,
will we have a sign?
We'll have something that says Newport Police Advisory Committee, and we'll have something for you guys to hand out, and hopefully you know the brochure, so if people have questions or like, I've been looking for somebody to complain to, you know, or, you know, that'd be great. Or, hey, I've been looking for somebody to just say something nice to. Our officers will also be there. Not all of them, but we'll have quite a few of our staff there also. So this is just, you know, National Night Out's one of those things, started in 1984, and it's designed ultimately to improve and in that collaboration between the public and law enforcement. And we've taken that and gone from the little individual neighborhood events that we would attend and have 6 dinners and 14 desserts a night to this big, large community event, which has been super successful for us. And, you know, it gives the community a chance to see the officers in a whole nother light. A lot of people, their only contact with us is because they've reported been a victim of crime, suspect of a crime, or been pulled over. You know, the majority of the world really hasn't dealt with this, and so they get to see the fact that we're human just like everybody else and just dressed different. So it's a fun event.
It's part of authentic community engagement for us to get out and meet the community rather than have community somehow come to us to a meeting.
Well, I'll volunteer about an hour and a half of my time next time.
That's what I was hoping
from, like,
for
5 to 6:30.
About
write
what
it down,
time
put it on
do
paper.
You think?
I'm either.
What time does it start?
Starts at 5 p.m. Yeah. And goes to 8 p.m. And then you guys are all welcome to mill. I think we have to be careful if we all congregate you in one spot. You know, if we keep it under 6 in one booth, then it's, you guys aren't.
Oh, it will be.
You won't be having a public meeting. Yeah. Yeah, but if you guys could sign up, you know, that would
be the best. Send around.
My daughter's coming from out of town that night. Today's her birthday.
I heard she's 5 minutes away in town. So.
Well, everybody's got
there
time.
That's true. It doesn't take me long. I need to walk to work. Yeah.
Do a side of piggy pancake.
Last year it was just Ed and me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Yeah,
worst case scenario, we'll have candy bars for you to give out. So.
And eat.
Yeah, and eat. Exactly. Central de Utah is also there. We our Spanish speaking officers there, and you know we get a very large Latino community comes, very large, and it's great being able that we can talk to them, you know, if needed or if they have questions or comments. Having Officer Felix there, who's just one of the friendliest guys you'll meet.
So we're not gonna have the brochure by that time.
We will.
Our plan is to have it. If not, we'll have at least whatever she has for now, because it at least contains your mission, what it is, what you stand for, how to contact you, how to be involved, things like that.
Is there a volunteer brochure? A brochure's for volunteers?
We do have a volunteer brochure, and so for those of you that don't know, and I just haven't had time to do it, but Mindy's husband, who is retired, sitting at home doing nothing all day long now, has agreed to come in and help start the conversation about ultimately revitalizing our volunteers. Because at the beginning of COVID, we haven't had volunteers since then. And a lot of them they moved on due to health reasons, personal reasons, things like that. So we want to get it back up and revitalize it and expand it to even more than it was doing, or just even change its focus a little bit. A lot of people in the community want to be a part of the police department somehow or another. And tired of telling them no.
So we could hand those out, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, we could, yeah, become a volunteer.
Yeah.
I have a question. So if somebody walks up to the booth and they say, what do you guys do? What do you say to them?
We're going to have a brochure.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked. Let's start at the top.
And they might ask about the survey. Mm-hmm. No. What did you guys ever do with that thing?
What are we doing about it? That's what I hear.
I think we're ready to talk about public information. I understand, Fernando,
He had a question, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're okay. Where is this public community survey? Is it
the questionnaire?
The questionnaire that you got back. I would be curious to be able to read that.
The actual survey?
Sure.
or the aggregated results of it?
If you go through previous meetings and look at the minutes, you'll see it under community survey, you'll see the results. There's a few different meetings of different results that were in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is the easiest way to find it.
I think this year we've been pretty consistent.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was gonna be around the first of the year.
Be curious to see what people are talking about. Thank you.
Anyway, so I just had a couple of comments that I wanted to share with the group. We'll start macro and then work home. So I just got back from Salem. I got nominated for the Oregon State Translation Advisory Council. It's a big deal. I mean, it surprised me. So today was our inaugural meeting. Got to meet the Secretary of State, the whole works. So what that group is mainly for elections, House Bill 3021. So in the near future, as a matter of this November, the pamphlet should come English, Spanish, or any of the top five languages in the state. So, you know, so that stuff's coming either way. But to bring it closer to home for myself, I'm gonna, starting this fall, I'm gonna be doing the Spanish GED class for OCCC.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, I mean, I'm really excited about that stuff. I've been reading the book myself, and I'm already learning more myself. You know, and it's all in Spanish, so bringing the community up.
Well, that's great.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's all. Thanks.
For the members that are going to be there, we will track down name tags for something that will just say Police Advisory Committee and your first name on it, okay. Just so that people are wondering who you are or why, because you don't have cool, we don't have cool coats to wear.
Uniforms,
yeah.
T-shirts.
We have a bunch of I Support the Newport Police Department t-shirts.
Yeah, we have those.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, or a canine shirt. We have cool things.
We have cool things.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments?
Director's
committee. Report. Director's report, I'm sorry.
Okay, I just didn't think you and I talked enough already.
I didn't want to hear from
you. So usually I just talk about the gloom and doom of our staffing, and I can say prior to July 1st, we were down to two openings, which was great. We were seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Had a little bit of progress on getting some quality applicants and being able to move forward. And unfortunately, we had an applicant not make it through the process because, as you know, besides all of the interviews and the testing and things that have to get done, there's also a state-mandated criminal background that needs to be done and a state-mandated psychological exam. And both of those are non-negotiable. And so if the background investigator comes and says no, we don't change his mind. We definitely are not going to change a doctor's mind and say, are you sure? You know? And because what they look at is, you know, it's not, is this person crazy or a mental health crisis or something like that? It's a variety of things. It has to do with trust and the alcohol abuse, the possibility of being abusive and things like that. And so we had one that came back, which is, it's really disappointing when you go through this entire 3-month-long process and everything is successful, 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 and then the doctor says, do not recommend, run, turn right, you know, look the other way. And so we did have one of those. We've actually had two of those in the last months. And so we hit budget time in July. We had a very successful budget season. Council ultimately approved three new positions for us. One of the ones that we lost pre-COVID, which took us back to ultimately full strength, and then added two more positions, a school resource officer and a drug detective. Ultimately, that would be their focus, but we categorize it as a street crimes unit type thing. And so that took us up to five super fast, and now we're looking at the end of August having eight. So wow. One of the things is, as hard as it is to get people in law enforcement, it is super easy to lose them out of law enforcement also right now, or in other agencies due to a variety of reasons. Right now, if you're a sworn police officer, you can pretty much pick where you want to work in the state of Oregon. And, you know, while Newport is in a great place, other places have more opportunities, other places have more money, other places just have other places. So, you know, there's a, huh? Some, yeah, you know, and it's not cheap to live here.
They might actually have housing.
Yeah, it is hard to find housing. The other thing that we run into is significant other employment. And so when we hire an officer, the significant other is a professional in a, you know, one specific industry that we may not have, or you have to drive quite a ways to. And so there's a variety of reasons. You know, we're relatively supportive. If somebody wants to leave, we're not going to beg and make them stay. So, but we do have a few officers that are moving on to greener pastures, I guess we'll call it. Just things that we are not able to offer or compete with. So it does happen, but I do super happy. We have an officer starting Monday who is a Newport alum, grew up from here. So she's a certified police officer already. She was a reserve for us a few years ago, so super excited to have her. So she'll be here Monday and swear in on the 15th in front of City Council. So other than that, we don't have any. And then we have three officers in training. One's heading off to the academy. Two officers in training. One's heading off to the academy, and one is looked at as a lateral, so we don't have to send them to the academy. So we're hoping by September we'll have two more officers on the streets. We have nobody left in our queue for pending hires. Everybody we have has not advanced through our process for one reason or another. So other than that, we're just happy to be here.
Cindy?
Yes.
One of the things that, maybe this has been done already, but one of the things on our, the things we were going to do as a committee is review the police department's training. And maybe if you've already done that, fine. If you haven't, maybe it's a good time when you said you had three officers off the academy. You can tell us, maybe give us a little briefing on what that involves and then what you do for continuing professional education for them. And more specifically, I guess, I would be interested, I don't know about the rest of this committee, but in light of what's happened in Uvalde, I think it would be very interesting for us to learn what you have as the PD here and what the process is for responding to these active shooter situations so that we make sure that we don't get into a situation where everything that has been trained is not used in a situation like that. So we'd have to know what the training is and then to support you and what that would be. So I guess the basic training from the officer standpoint, what you do for continuing professional education, and then more specifically your active shooter training.
So those are ultimately multiple meetings. That would take a long time to go through all of them, but I could probably do a 10 to 15 minute summary on the basic academy, the topics that are covered, the hours, things like that, and then the continuing education that we provide and that each officer is required to have throughout their career, and that could be relatively simple. The active shooter, absolutely we can discuss that. It's something we discuss a lot at school, and you know, I'm still eagerly awaiting. I've lost track how many phone calls, texts, emails about my opinion after that event, and I was probably as shocked and dismayed as anybody sitting in this room at the response. But I'm waiting for that final report to come out. You know, and I know it's going to be 3,200 pages. But waiting for that final report to come out to figure out why did they do what they did. There's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of rumor. I've watched the same videos you guys have. And I have as many questions as anybody else. So I do know that they more than likely have the same training and the same protocol we do. And so why they did what they did is I'm really interested to see. I know there's a lot of this happening and none of this. So it's one of those lessons learned. You absolutely hate something, but that's how we learn most of the stuff we do is we go to conferences on lessons learned on this didn't work. And then we change things.
So let's put that on the agenda.
You know, the stuff that you sent out last time on training and orientation. You know, a lot of that was pretty self-explanatory. I mean, that may take up a lot of questions. I mean, just with that may answer a lot of things.
And that was very snapshot.
Yeah.
30,000 foot. And I can delve into it a little bit more about the specific, 640-hour academy. You know, what those hours break into, that stuff.
Thank you.
We'll put it on the agenda, at least to get started with it next time. Is there any public comment? You're the only one here, I think.
Only public.
The only public.
As far as I know.
I don't have any comments. I'm intrigued.
intrigued by progress. I liked what Sam said is, we've talked about a lot of things, let's do something. Really, at the bottom, at the end of the day, that's what it sounded like to me. I'm a big guy that says actions speak louder than words about everything, so I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. There's nothing else?
I got a committee comment real quick.
Okay.
So.
You gotta be more forceful.
All right, just trying to be nice. I was charged last meeting with the article, the opinion piece for the News Times about the results of the questionnaire. And so I had the meeting with Ken and Mindy, and Ken said, all right, can you get it to me by Thursday? Which was like, it was like Tuesday. And I was like, yes, I can. And I did. And then I heard nothing and heard nothing and heard nothing, and I was worried. And so I texted him and I said, did you get it? And he said, I'm on vacation right now. I'll get it when I come back. And then so I waited and I heard nothing, and it was not in the paper. And then he texted me like pretty recently, and he said, I still didn't get it. Like, what happened? And I was like, oh, maybe there's just a mistake. I'll send it to you again. So I sent it to him again. He still didn't get it. This was taking days. And then finally, there was a miscommunication. He had given me the wrong email address. And so I got it to him, but that was just like yesterday. So that's why I haven't seen it in the paper. It's not my fault. I wrote it in like 2 days, which is what he asked me to do. But hopefully now, really soon, it should be in the paper, because I finally got it to him, and he was like, yes, I see it. I'll submit it to Jeremy so he can, when he's putting together the newspaper for hopefully soon, maybe.
I don't know, but I've read it.
So I saw it.
Well, there was an article.
I don't know if I looked it up on the internet.
There was an article.
But I read it somewhere.
Yes, so so when we were having the meeting with Ken, what he recommended was that he do a, you know, completely unbiased outsider perspective in the news section, because everyone reads the news section. And then I also do my piece, which would go in the op-ed section, and so he did his. His came right away, like the next day after the meeting, and mine is coming. And I was hoping it was going to be, you know, 3 weeks ago, and it wasn't. But hopefully, it should be. I mean, hopefully this Friday. I would think.
I saw his. It came up on the Facebook feed, and so I went, "Oh, geez, what'd I do?" Because I always see Newport Police Companion, and it was very supportive. Because it was ultimately, it was, you know, the majority of the comments were supportive of the police department, and so that's what it focused on. And then it did say there was some negative things, you know, and that the committee was working on those, coming up with ideas.
Good. Yeah, I thought it was well.
And he was given copies of pretty much every piece of literature that we have, and then, so he based his on that. So, you know, he's going to think the same things that we think, because he's got the same stuff.
Right.
Thank you for doing that, Sam.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Any more committee comments, public comments? Okay, we are adjourned. 30 on the dot.
What is the date of the next meeting? You said 31.
They started
August 24th.
Okay.